Marketers are drowning in data. So how do you turn off the fire hose and focus on what matters to develop segmentation or personalize your offers? It's Data-Driven Marketing 101 and a discussion of real-time data and why it rules with my guest, Meredith Tretiak, VP Product Marketing at CleverTap. So stay tuned for this and more in episode number 437. Welcome to Mobile Presence, your destination for everything mobile. I'm your host, as always, Peggy Ann Saltz, mobile analyst, tech consultant, senior Forbes writer, and founder of Mobile Groove. And today, and every 2 weeks for that matter, we bring you a Reimagine Growth, a special mini-series on retention marketing powered by CleverTap, the leading customer engagement and retention platform. Customer data and behavioral data around what your customers do inside your app and elsewhere is pure gold. I won't even get to how important it is now that we are in a post-identifier world. So why aren't marketers using the data they have to make decisions? Well, we get the answers from Meredith Tretiak, VP Marketing at CleverTap. Meredith's background includes over 10 years of experience in product marketing, identifying market opportunities, creating go-to-market strategies, and building stories that connect to target audiences. She's had digital experience at Gap, Disney, and Electronic Arts, and she's with us here today. And Meredith, I'm just going to dive right in with what I like to call a data grenade, right? Because reports show marketers typically tend to use, quote, less than 5% of the data available to them to make decisions, end quote. So why is that? There's a disconnect there.
Yeah, absolutely, Peggy. So we're overwhelmed by data these days. There's so much data available for customers. Everything's being tracked. It can be overwhelming, right? So, you know, is there anything wrong with the less than 5%? Maybe not. You know, sometimes the data may be really unstructured and unusable. Maybe the data is older. So it's really, how are you effectively using this data? Because I think the other thing that companies can get caught up in is, hey, we have all of this data. How do we make it all work for us? And when you get to this exhaustive approach, it may just not be practical, right? So it's kind of, I mean, I think the, you know, strong way to go about this is to really think about, okay, what do we need right now to make our customer experience better? What data is going to help us facilitate that? And then there is the longer term, you know, how do we organize our data so it's structured in a way that builds us up for the future? You know, does every company need to know what their customers were doing 10 years ago? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe that's not the data that facilitates a better customer experience, but maybe it's good context, right? So all businesses, depending on what they're bringing to the market and the customer experience that they want to create, they, you know, it's really good to look at what's going to work for that specific business, because we are overwhelmed by data, but how much of it really matters right now, I think, is an important question to ask.
I'll do a little bit of a quiz here. You know, I'll say what I want to achieve, and you maybe tell me what data I'm going to need to do that. So a big one, huge, I'm hearing it more and more actually, is to build segments. I was just talking to games app marketers and who didn't really think about this an awful lot. And now they're like subgenres of subgenres and really getting deep into player types and psychology. So everyone is looking at segments, but they're building more granular segments. So what are the key data building blocks here?
10 years ago-ish, when the App Store launched, you know, you didn't have the data and analytics to do segments. So all messages and kind of the experience was universal for all users coming in and using that app. So I think over time, you know, broader segments were identified. You would have the whales, right? And they're kind of the top 1% of purchasers. You would have different types of engagement levels, different frequencies of how often someone's coming in and playing. You know, maybe there are certain people who are builders in an app and certain people who are creators. So depending on kind of what the game is. So there are all these different types of segments. I think what's really powerful about what you said on kind of getting really narrow segments is that it's possible with technology now. The technology has evolved. So this level of automation is possible to both identify kind of these specific, more narrow segments, but then also to engage with them in a way that activates, you know, their participation in the app, but then also, you know, resonates with them. So they're having that great experience that's really going to, you know, keep them coming back into the app and enjoying it, especially in gaming, right? Because it's all about fun. So when you're presencing the fun in a way that resonates to those even more narrow groups, it can be really powerful.
Personalization. What are the data building blocks there?
Yeah, and with personalization, right, segmentation is more about kind of the groups that have like behavior or like interest, depending on what makes sense for the app specifically. Whereas personalization is, what is that specific thing? So for example, if it's a fintech app, and there are different services that the app offers. So say maybe it's banking and investing and loans, right? So to make a personalized experience, maybe there's a way to leverage the data that says, okay, this person is qualified for a loan and it may be something that they're interested in. So we have that personalized offering for a segment of users. So it's more than just kind of grouping, it's really understanding what that individual may be interested in to really connect the segment to what the business offers.
Ultimately, I'm going for deeper retention. So I'm looking at different signals along that journey. Can you give some examples so that marketers can focus on what matters if what they're after is a longer term relationship?
So let's try another vertical. Let's think about travel, right? Travel's picking up again. So there's a lot of interest. So there are tons of booking sites and, you know, travel recommendation sites. What makes people stay and keep coming back is really that customer experience. So how do you create the customer experience that's going to bring people back over and over? It's really about leveraging data to create that personalized experience, right? So for example, you know, if someone is known to take last minute trips, or if somebody is known to, you know, always travel to somewhere tropical, or always take, you know, a ski trip in Maine in the winter, right? So it's about having the content match with the individuals, right? And being able to automate that, which is also really key for personalization, is right, you can't handle all these manual campaigns, right? We're kind of beyond that point where really automation does enable kind of this reach, right? So you can create a campaign that goes to, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of customers, but then it really hones in on kind of what is their past behavior, what are their, you know, interests that are recurring, so that the campaign is really relevant to them. By understanding your customers to this level is really what brings them back and makes your experience that you're creating more relevant to them.
So a lot of this data is about behavior over time. It's also about context and content, making that match. But within this framework, what is the value of real-time data in the mix? Because I've been hearing a lot about near real-time data. Now it's real-time data. I want to understand, I want our listeners also to understand, what's the difference? What's the value?
Absolutely. I mean, you can think about this in the context of real-time anything, right? So, I mean, if you think about this just in terms of, you know, the weather, right? So I only got the hurricane warning, you know, 20 minutes after, like, I'm in the center of the storm, right? Like that 20 minutes, right? Having that advanced notice, it's asynchronous with life, right? So, I mean, that's kind of an extreme example, but that's how you'd want to think about it. So, you know, depending on how systems are synced, a lot of this time, this near real-time data is a 4-hour delay. You know, so I would say it can definitely just create little friction points for customers where it's not, you know, the brand affinity feeling that you generally want to be creating in that relationship. Especially if you think, you know, fintech or stock trading, right? Or live sports. These are things that are hyper real time, right? If someone wants to make a trade and right, the price is dropping, if they're getting that notification late, That's a real poor experience, and that's affecting them, you know, potentially greatly. So it, you know, in looking at the business, it's being aware of your customers, their expectations, also understanding kind of the market forces, right? Especially in the fintech area, in areas where this real-time understanding of kind of what's happening in the market is so essential. If you're not paying attention, one of your competitors is, right? And it becomes a really strong competitive differentiator to be able to deliver on real time. So I think it's being very mindful about what you're bringing to your customers and how you want to, you know, be the strongest player in your space.
I'm glad you brought up fintech because you've been writing about that, speaking about that. It's an area that I want to hear more about. But first, Meredith, we do have to go to break. So listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mobile Presence, sponsored by CleverTap, a leading engagement and retention platform, will be back after this message. Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company. Distribution to almost every podcast portal. An embeddable player for your website. An ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts. And much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY podcast system within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.wmr.fm and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm. Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com. Welcome back to Mobile Presence on WMR.FM. Here is your host, Peggy Ann Sauls.
And welcome back to Mobile Presence Reimagine Growth, our special segment with Meredith Tretiak, VP Marketing at CleverTap. And before the break, Meredith, we were talking about all the different ways we need to look at data, understand data, depending on our objectives. Now I'm going to switch to the genre, depending on the genre, the app genre, fintech. It's a vertical that has just been absolutely transformed because, you know, Corona, lockdown, we become very anxious about our financial futures and we reach to these fintech apps for a number of reasons. In fact, they become a lot like a life coach.
Very interesting space over the past year, year and a half. And a lot of it is from the pandemic, right? So, I mean, a lot of people were strained. There was a lot of uncertainty in finances. So it kind of forced this awareness. So you do have these financial institutions and they have, you know, a lot of times companies who have been around a long time have a lot of legacy infrastructure, have different kind of bureaucratic structures. And then you have these fintech companies like come out and they have, you know, they're really focused on the user experience, on the UX and the UI. They understand the prompt nuances, right? You know, we're talking about gaming earlier, right? And you have those kind of prompts that, you know, make you feel good or make you get involved in the app experience. You're kind of having, you know, a whole new world of how people engage with financial companies and fintech companies kind of come around right at this time. So I think it's definitely, you know, many factors that kind of all hit within the past year. And now that, you know, the pandemic's lifting and people are more, you know, going out into the world, it's changed kind of this awareness of finances and, you know, engaging differently and thinking about, you know, our, you know, financial wellness differently, right? So it's definitely a different world now than a year and a half ago, specifically in this space.
So you make an interesting point, because it's about that customer experience. You know, neobanks, challenger banks, fintechs, they are a little further on the learning curve because they get this. They were built to do this. Financial institutions, a little bit behind, but interestingly enough, both of them face a similar issue, because it's not just about customizing the experience. They both have to educate the user to use the app. They're constantly introducing features and saying, hey, you know, I had a debit card, now I've got a credit card, you know. And so it's a lot of it is education on top of just engagement. Can you share from your perspective how it is that I can educate users? Is it the same data? Is it the same learnings?
Education is really important, and it all comes to the customer base, right? So you're going to have more technologically literate customers. You're going to have customers who are, you know, millennials who are super engaged in social media and gaming, and, you know, they kind of have that expectation going into a fintech app, right? And they're used to those prompts, you know, even this idea of, you know, financial wellness, right? There are so many different goals that people have, whether it's to buy a house or be debt free. So understanding and having those specific goals, I think, is really important in that aspect of finance. And then you kind of have those wellness prompts to say, okay, you're on track, or you're not on track, or I've noticed you've spent a lot in this area and you usually don't spend in that area, right? So kind of having those prompts and kind of having that bigger experience that's blended in finance to kind of what a lot of millennials and, you know, other tech savvy individuals have become familiar with in the, you know, in other apps and other digital experiences. So I would say kind of in the digital experience realm, all of those things are true. So it's definitely kind of this individualization of, you know, personal goal or personal like ethos, right? And matching that up to different fintech experiences. So I definitely think there's a lot there in terms of education in both the, you know, interface and app experience, and also kind of like what financial apps really make sense for you. You know, maybe there are a few that kind of resonate to kind of round out what you're looking for. And then it's the overall financial knowledge, like how do markets actually work? How is that going to impact my paycheck, right? So I think there are many areas of education within finances that are really coming present, you know, to a larger audience.
So you talk about an element of personalization. There's also an element of customization. But there's also, of course, particularly for fintech apps, they have to show empathy. Empathy every step of the journey. I'd like to just close, Meredith, with some thoughts, because this is something also that you're focused on at CleverTap. Empathy. How do you show it? Is there a channel? Is there a tone?
One is this user preference. And so that I would say is the channel. Some people prefer push notifications. Some people prefer email. And that's really about being mindful and being a good communicator, you know, as a brand, having that relationship. The second thing is context. And that's what is that customer doing right now? Are they in the app every day? What are they doing in the app? Or are they, you know, they haven't been around for 2 months. Maybe it's time to re-engage them. So understanding the context of their relationship with the brand is important. And then the third part is relevance. So having that personalized data. So making sure that, you know, you're resonating based on what they've done recently, right? So I would say being mindful of those three different areas creates a great user experience. And then as far as empathy, right, it's being mindful of the times, right? So we do have a tool called the Emotion Editor. It's a free tool, and you can actually have your copy analyzed to see what emotions are present, like in just your copy. And then we also have a report that we provide that can see which you know, what resonates most with your customers. So it's actually a very powerful tool, and I think something that is unique to CleverTap and offering it holistically with kind of marketing campaigns. But I think, you know, it is very important to resonate with your audience and where they are now, and also be mindful that it is different by segment, and also that it changes over time, right? So it's like people are dynamic, people are growing, people, you know, are going in different phases of their life. And it's being really conscientious of, you know, the human experience, and that it is dynamic, and, you know, you want to relate to people with where they are, both in, you know, the factual and informational, you know, content that's being provided, but also having that level of empathy as well.
It's all about driving customer connection. And speaking of connection, some of the time, well, not really some of the time, most of the time, there's someone who wants to get in touch, social, LinkedIn, whatever. What's the best channel?
Yeah,
what's
great
the
question.
Best way to
I
stay
mean,
in touch
I am
with
on
you,
Twitter at MerYouKnow. So it's MerYouKnowYOU. So that is my Twitter. So I can definitely be reached there at any time.
And Meredith has shared her journey, and to help marketers and organizations with the insights and direction they need to drive customer connection and retention, CleverTap invites you to tune into CleverTap Engage, a candid and bi-weekly video podcast that challenges convention and shines a light on CMOs at major brands achieving meaningful, memorable, and clever customer engagement. And if you want to learn more about company founders, then tune into Journey to Success. In every episode, leaders share the ups and downs of what it took to build a brand from scratch. So learn from the best and check out both shows on the CleverTap playlist on YouTube. And if you want to keep up with me throughout the week or find out more about how you can be a guest or sponsor on Mobile Presence, then you can email me, peggy@mobilegroove.com is where you'll find my portfolio of content marketing and app marketing services. And you can check out this and all earlier episodes of our show by going to wmr.fm, or you can find our shows on Amazon, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio simply by searching Mobile Presence. So until next time, remember, every minute is mobile, so make every minute count. Keep well, stay safe, and we'll see you soon.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.